My name is Maxine Reamer. I'm active in altar ministry, Monday night prayer, and Able Church. You know, my passion is to pray for this church, the leadership, the ministries, and especially for you, your family, and your children. I truly want God's best for you. If you're able, would you please stand for the reading of the word? Philippians 4:4-20. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you, Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from God, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now to the God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Maxine. You may be seated. I'd like you to continue to keep Bob and Chris Wigman, the Wigman family, in your prayers. They'll have their wake tonight and the funeral tomorrow. I'd also like you to think of Bill and Donna Varney. Donna's mother passed away this past week. I'm going to tell you something about the beauty of being in the family of God. It's sorrowful. We hurt. We mourn. We grieve. But I told you last week that Bob took his dad down Romans Road a couple times before he passed, which is such a beautiful thing, and it makes me just smile on the inside. And apparently, the Varney clan ushered Mama and Grandma in through worship and ushered her into heaven. What a beautiful, beautiful thing. My wife has always said, these people that are dying at 90 and 94 and whatever, that was the greatest generation, she would always say, and still does to this day. In many ways, that was a pretty incredible generation. But we grieve with you, but we celebrate with you. And there'll be information coming, I'm sure, for those that want to visit those. Good morning. Last week was a little rough for some people, wasn't it? I'm smiling because I know what you're feeling. Things have to be said. And don't amen too loud because people are going to know your political affiliation. That's not what we're going for here. Okay. What I didn't get a chance to finish last week actually happened during the worship. I want to be really clear. The things that I spoke about last week are significant things to talk about. We should not be silent about them anymore, right? But what we didn't get to was there is forgiveness. And it was coming out, there is forgiveness for those who have any sin. There is no sin that God can't forgive. And he came to do just that very thing, is to forgive us of our sin. I'm talking about being deceived. And I'm talking about buying the lie of the day. That was the message last week. And the message was for the church. The world does not have ears to hear that message. But the church should have ears to hear. And if you rise up in anger and rage against, and you're a member of the church, a believer in Jesus Christ, and you struggle with the word of God, that's between you and God. And my word to you is, get right before God. You know, there's messages I've preached, and a lot of times I want to get it right, but I want to kind of make it fit me. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes I will go and I'll grab a scripture and, that's not what I want. I want it to fit what I want to say. That's going to say something different. It's going to mean something different, but it's the word of God. God, forgive me for that, but I'm not about doing that so much anymore. We want to present the word of God and the fullness and the truth of it. And part of the fullness and the truth of that word of God, which tells us the things that lead to death and the things that lead to life, remember the things that lead to life. And the things that lead to life are coming, not, you don't have to come to the forefront. That was a beautiful call. But right where you're sitting, right where you're at, you can ask God to forgive you and take away your sin. And it is done. It is done. And it's not for us to go back to it. Amen. That's the dog returning to its vomit, right? The sin is like vomit. We return back to the sin. No, it is done. It is finished. He has taken it from you and you grow from that point on. And that was part of the message from last week. And the reason why I'm bringing that up again is because our first verse says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. And after hearing a message like that, where maybe the stain of sin still rests on you because you haven't fully believed that God takes what you give him, and so you still carry it, it says rejoice. How can we rejoice? We can rejoice and again rejoice, and again rejoice, because when he takes it from you, it is done. It is gone. How beautiful is it that he takes our sin? And then what does he do? Then he says, don't return to that. Go this way. And I feel like that message came across during the worship and during that transitional piece. It was so clear. And we have to grab on to that. God forgives. And in the church, we have to forgive too. So the issue that we talked about was abortion. That's a big issue. If you say it, you can feel it, because it's a big issue. I can feel it. I'm sure you can too. What's the attitude by which you say that word? Do you get pictures of people in your head? Then you need to ask for forgiveness. If you get pictures of the atrocity that's being done, then you pray that others get forgiven and that they would come to God too. Do you pray for God to truly deliver somebody that comes from that pain? I said last week that there is a spirit of delusion that's released in the last days. That spirit is alive and well, deluding even the smartest of people. Actually, the smart ones fall easy. Dummies like me, we don't quite get it, and we miss it, and we're a happy people. But there is a spirit of delusion. And the job here is to expose the delusion and the lie and bring forth the truth of what's going on in all areas that the word speaks. We got a beautiful presentation. Next time you guys come up here, we get that mic, we turn that thing right to your mouth, and blast in it. Speak and blast in it. Of people who peddle the gospel in the most beautiful of ways. In fact, they don't peddle it, they give it. They give the gospel out, and it's in the hotels. What a beautiful thing. Then we have Tim and Chrissy. If you guys could stand up and just wave to everybody. Tim and Chrissy are missionaries to third world countries, really. I think it's expanded. You're in South America. You're in Africa. You're in, I don't know if you got to India yet. I'd probably say, hold up, I'm not going to support that. Okay, because I want you protected. Okay. I do support that. And they're responsible for making materials and teaching others how to make materials. They replicate themselves, and then they help support them in doing the ministry that God's called them to do, that the Word of God and the materials that teach about God go out. Is that about right? That's right. And we support them. And we support the Gideons. And we support David Bruning, who does very, very similar to what Tim does, Pastor Tim and Chrissy. Does very similar things. He does it with food and other kinds of helps like that. This church supports him. What a beautiful thing. And there's other ministries that we support, and we need to continue to support those other ministries. Today, more than ever, we need to support them. Why? Because it's about getting the truth out. The only thing that battles against delusion and deception of the day is the truth of God's word. Not the twisting of it, not the bending of it, not trying to make it fit my paradigm, but the delivery of the truth in its purest way possible. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you're doing here in this place. Proverbs 8:36 says, "But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death." That is the culture in the world today. You can't say that. I just did. You can say that because that's the reality. We celebrate a life of 90-some years, two people. Why? Because it matters. The life they live mattered. We celebrate when they pass because they pass from this broken place into a place that's perfect. And we grieve the loss. We grieve that they're gone, but we celebrate where they are. We grieve the loss of those who have been taken without cause. Not the cause of Christ anyway. And so we speak to those things. And I'm setting up a foundation. But there is a death culture out here. I believe, and this is my opinion. If you don't like it, I understand. But I believe that as we progress forward, we're not going to see so many people dying in their 80s and 90s. We're going to start seeing them go earlier and earlier because it's going to be beneficial to the day that we live, that they're gone. God forgive a nation that doesn't support people in older years. Already throughout the world, there's people that will rid themselves of babies that they find the chromosomes are off or something's not right within that child. And they'll want to exterminate it because we'll try again for one that doesn't have that issue or that problem or those issues or those problems. Forgive us as a nation. Forgive us when we want to start taking life because it's more convenient for us and my right matters. My right doesn't mean stink. It's not about my rights. It's about God's will. All right? So do not be deceived by the day in which we live. Don't be deceived. Don't buy the rhetoric. The politics of the thing is just stinky ugly. Both sides. Know what the Word of God says. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Buy life. Believe in life. And don't buy the delusions it's been when life happens. They're all over the place. Believe in life. And speak. Like I'm doing right now, speak for life. And don't speak life in judgment. Speak it in love. That they would grasp what you're communicating to them. This is a big deal. And the issues go deeper and deeper and deeper and farther wide. The breadth of it is wide. Let's be about it. 1 Timothy 4:2 says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith." Who are they talking about? Those who had the faith, supposedly. They're talking about the church. Some will depart from the church. Why? Because they were deluded. They were deceived. They listened to the lie and they went with it. The lie benefited them better than the truth benefited them. They go towards the lie. I know me. I know me. I want to go to where I want to go. I want to do what's good for me. That's my nature. God has been stripping me of my nature because it doesn't take me down to a good place. And you're all no different than me. In fact, I would say you're all just like me. So what does that mean? That means we come to Christ and we give ourselves over. We surrender to Him. We spoke about that last week. Be about surrendering to Christ. His will, not yours. His benefit, not your desires. He'll give you the desires of your heart, but according to His will and in line with what His purposes are. They'll depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. I pray that that not happen to anybody in this church. Anybody sitting in this room, that you do not get deceived in any kind of way by these doctrines of demons. What are doctrines of demons? They're just that. Spirits that speak into your ears that sound a little like the truth, but they're not the truth. It's been twisted. It's been spun. It's been altered. But it sounds good. And I still get my thing. Be aware and do not be deceived. The things that are coming down the pipeline are not good. And this isn't supposed to be a whoa, 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 but maybe it is whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Not woke, whoa. That was maybe too soon for that kind of thing. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Why do they keep saying rejoice? The days in Jesus' day were hard too. Because He is in the midst of it. And He is doing something. He is doing something in everything. He did something in the room. Donna, and I don't want to do too much. I'm going to say it anyway. But if you're ushering your mom into heaven by worship, God is doing something in your mama, who is how old? 101. Oh, should have buried her with a trophy. That's amazing. That's amazing. My dad, when he was dying at 65, 66, right around there, was laying in his bed. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I don't think he could feel. I don't think he could really comprehend all that's going on. All he said was Jesus' name. My grandfather, who died at about 80-some, was laying in the bed, and I remember the same thing coming out of him. Do you remember, Sally? Jesus, 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 Jesus. These are Catholic men. They only say Jesus when the priest tells them to stand up and then say it and then sit down and then say it again and then, okay. No, they were reciting Jesus. Why? Because God is at work. God is always, always, always at work. What we want to hide from and what we want to run from may be the very thing that God wants to use to get your attention, to have you listen, because this life is but a breath, right? He's about Him. He's about us knowing Him. And He'll do whatever it takes to get you to know Him, because that's where life is. Philippians 3:1 said, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious," and I said this last week, "but for you it is safe." We have to keep speaking this, because the onslaught of what you listen to each week is unrelenting. It keeps coming. It keeps coming. What are you filling yourself with? It just keeps on coming. And then the lies come with it. So we need to be filling ourselves with more of Him. And the best way to do that is in the fellowship of the brethren, by the Word of God, moving by the Spirit of God, and receiving it. Thank you, Jesus. John 5:17, "But Jesus answered them and said, 'My Father has been working until now, and I have been working.'" Jesus said this. "My Father has been working until now." That was in His day, and He is there, and He says, "I am now working." And then He says, "It is better for you that I go, that I can send the Comforter to you." For what purpose? Because the Spirit of God is working. He is working. He is working in you, and He's working in me, and He, too, is unrelenting, but He does not force Himself on you. The Holy Spirit is a lover who does not force Himself on you. And He keeps speaking to you. And who are you listening to? Are you listening to a track that leads to death? Or are you listening to the track that leads to life? And if you're listening to the track that leads to life, you'll hear But if you start stepping off that track, you'll hear less and less. He's still speaking, but he's not forcing. It gets softer and quieter and quieter. And before you know it, you don't hear him at all. I rue the day for anybody here who stops hearing from God. He's always at work, up to the last seconds. And my heart is that the last seconds are never interrupted. Who knows the time? Christ himself knows the time. He knows when he's returning, but he also knows the hour that you're going to pass. He doesn't miss it. But he is always working. Psalm 147:5 says, "Great is our Lord, mighty in his power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifts up the humble, and he casts the wicked down to the ground." That's what happens on the wrong track, on the wrong path. But then he says in James 1:2, and this has been so hard for me. I don't like it. I love it now. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." Raise your hand if you like trials. Liars, liars, liars. I hate trials. Why does he say count it all joy? Because he's at work in you. He's at work. I don't like it, but I trust it. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces something. He's doing something for some good. He's growing you in your faith. Why? Faith is the only thing that'll please God. There's nothing you can do that's going to please him apart from faith. In fact, he says, anything apart from faith is sin. Oh, God, you got it all figured out. Thank you. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." God is at work. And we need to continue to remember that he is at work. In the midst of the fire, the trial, the difficulties, he is doing something. And I'll tell you what, if you could just take a step back when you're going through the midst of it, just step back and look and see. I believe he'll reveal something to you right there. I've had places already where I'm in the mess. I hate the mess. I'm not giddy about the mess, but I feel like when I'm in the middle of it, and maybe Sally is in the middle of it with me, and it's overwhelming, and we're really close to the mess right now in our lives. Take a step back. What's he saying? I'm crying. I'm emotional. I'm feeling it. What's he saying? I'm in it. I have it. I'm doing something in her. I'm doing something in him. It's going to be all right. What we grieve, he celebrates when it comes to life. We grieve the loss of somebody. He celebrates it. They rejoice in heaven at the salvation of a soul. But one who passes from this place that we're in now and moves up to heaven, there is rejoicing for the saints that come to heaven. It's not to be interrupted. Thank you, Jesus. A word of encouragement to us all is in James 5:8. "You also be patient as we go through these trials and these tough times. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing," Philippians 4:6, "but in everything by prayer and supplication," that's humility, "with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Can I make requests to God? Yes, I can. I make them all the time. I would say probably 70% of my requests are me, and they don't always get answered the way I want them to. He's working. 30% of my requests, I believe, are answered. It feels like it. Why? Because it was along the lines of his will. It was for his glory. It was for his purposes. Our God is thorough. He's complete. He's got it figured out. Lord, let us not miss what you're doing. God demonstrate... Excuse me. Thank you, Jesus. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church of Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. To him be the glory." If you've seen Jane, is Jane here today? She's not here today. I can really have some fun. Jane is the one who hugs you when you first walk through the door. It feels like you've been in a clothes press. She gives a real hug, and it is legit, and that is her heart, and it just, it's amazing. And her phrase, "To God be the glory," I never get tired of hearing it. I use her phrase to her now, and she still gives it back. And it's back and forth. It's like tennis. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. That's how we should all be speaking. To God be the glory. And let's not worry so much about our own. And then Romans 5:8. This was the heart of what brought all this up out of me. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. And when I get to the hard topics where mistakes have been made, where some guy goes out and pays for his girlfriend or his wife or whoever to have an abortion, to take that baby's life, I pray for him because God will forgive him when he comes forward and says, "God, forgive me." You see, men are guilty in this as much as women are. And for the woman who has gone out and made the error, the sin, I'll call it the sin of taking a life, take it to Christ. He takes it and he removes it. And I'm coming back to that. And it's not bad if I repeat it time and again. It is done. He doesn't love you less or he doesn't love you more. He loves you like he always did. It's complete. Give it to him. Give it to him. Get that burden off you. It's the one thing that's never talked about. Well, it is, but rarely talked about, is the pain and destruction that goes to a woman that has taken a life. It doesn't matter what her party is or affiliation is when she's done this, the psychological implications are legitimate and real. And they need prayer and forgiveness. And I believe when men see the fullness of their part in it, they're going to need forgiveness as well. And they all need to be delivered as well. Thank you, Jesus. Second thing. Meditate on these things, on Christ. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, all this verse here is so... This is where our mind should be as believers. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true. Jesus said to him in John 6:16, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." I shared that scripture with you before. So whatever things are true, meditate on those things. What's true? Life that God creates is true. The offer and the finisher of our faith, who is Christ, is true. His word is true. In John 1, it talks about him being the living word. The word became flesh and dwelt with us. At the creation, Jesus was there. He was the word that was expelled by the Spirit from the power of God. Or the power of God expelling his Spirit, speaking through Christ, creates. The word is living and active. It's alive. And he says, "I am the way, I am the truth." The word is truth. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's a truth we all need to know. There's no other way. There's no ferry boat that takes you down a different path that brings you to the Father. There's no good wishes that take you to the Father. There's no other religion. There's no other name given amongst men by which we must be saved but the name of Jesus Christ. He is the only way to the Father. You can't be good enough. You can't be doing enough things with good intentions, even decent intentions, I'd say, that will get you any closer to God in terms of heaven. When you're dead, you're dead, and you don't come to life until you come to Christ. That is a hard thing to say, but it is the truth. You don't come to heaven until you come to Christ. I stopped counting all the good things I have done. I used to count and keep a little. It's quiet. I didn't share this with anybody. I kept it in my head. I was pretty good here. I was pretty good there. I did a good job. Oh, man, God is just, he's giving me one of these. And now I give myself one of these. What was I thinking? Oh, it's not about what we do. It's about what he did. Thank you, Jesus. I'm smiling because I know you all did the same thing. The good things that I do are useless if they're not in him. Hebrews 12:14 says, "Pursue peace with all people and holiness, with which out no one will see the Lord." I'm giving a message that's, I think it's hard only because of the day and where the world has brought this message. But in the end, we as a church, as a body of believers, need to come together. You've heard it time and again. We'll keep bringing it. We need to be together. Together in community, in communion. We're going to take communion in just about 10 minutes. And it's us coming together with Christ at the center of it. I just did a wedding yesterday. And at the wedding, the focus of the wedding was the couple coming together in Christ. Because I know the end of those that don't come together in Christ. I mean, not the end of their marriage. I know the end for them if they don't come together in Christ. It's a big deal. But it brings with it peace. And then we sharpen one another, which helps us and brings us towards holiness. What's holiness all about? It's about God is at work in us. He's at work. What's he doing? He's bringing us closer to him. He's preparing us. He's making us to be without spot or wrinkle. That's what he's doing. He's always working to have us come to him without any blemish. That's what he's going for. That's what his bride is to look like. And he's about that work. So whatever things are noble, think on those things. Our greatest claim to nobility is first to realize that you're a child of God. With that nobility, there is a responsibility to carry yourself in such a way. What's that way? To be salt and light. That others would be drawn to God. That's noble. That's right. Knowing who God is and knowing who you are. The humility leads to nobility for us as believers. In Jesus' name. What else does it mean to be noble? Titus 2:2 says that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith and love, patient. And the older women, likewise, they are to be reverent. Behavior is not slanderous, not given to too much wine. It's interesting that they talked to the women about that. Finally, they got off our case a little bit. Teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. Why do they have to say that? Mothers naturally love, don't they? No, it says it for a reason. Self sometimes becomes bigger than our offspring. Think about it for a second. But you wise women, teach the young women, teach your children, and teach your grandchildren how to love God, how to love others in the bond of peace, in the spirit of truth. Teach them. There's an order that God has set up, and this is part of that order. 8C says, whatever things are just. These are things that are moral and fair. There is a justice out there, and there's a justice issue out there. But true justice is in Christ alone. He is the judge. When we step into the arena of being judged, we determine what things we're going to judge, and we don't do it right. We decide what the justice is supposed to be. And we've messed it up. It looks like this. Oh, you're going to all be ticked at me. I'm okay. Let's get rid of the police. They're not doing it right. We're going to get rid of all the police. And we're just going to let chaos rule. I'm taking a stretch here, but we're going to let chaos reign. Because they weren't that man there wasn't treated right. No, he wasn't treated right, but you don't have the answer to make it better. This is political. I'm sorry. But I said I was going to share what comes to my heart. God is the judge. He alone is truly just. Everything else, our justice does not measure up. I can't even be fair, to be honest with you, between my own children. Everybody knows I treat my daughter better than my sons. So does Tim Kelly, by the way. Our missionary to the world treats his son or his daughters better than his sons. Okay, I'm saying that playfully, but you get my gist. We're not perfect in our judgment. In fact, oftentimes we're way off. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Whatever things are pure, unmixed, God is coming back for a pure and spotless bride. And he's in the process. He's always at work. What's he doing? He's purifying us. He's getting rid of the things that are off, the anomalies, the mistakes, the errors within us. And this is all spiritual things. If there is any virtue, high morals, high moral standard, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things that you learned and received and heard and saw in me. This is Paul speaking. Do them. Do what I've done. Can we say that? Can we say to people, hey, follow me as I follow Christ. Do it the way I'm doing it. Ooh, I don't think we can. But we're called to. We're called to do it right. We're called to follow God's word. We're called to be like Christ. And Paul says we're coming up short. Do it at least like I'm doing it, because I'm a heck of a lot better at it than you are. It's not what he's saying, but I think you get the gist of what I'm trying to say. Thank you for that, Jesus. Verse 10 says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last the care for me has flourished. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. This is the last thing I want to talk about, and I'll be relatively quick here. Paul is sitting in contentment. You guys remember where he's writing from? He's writing from prison. That's right. He's writing from prison. He's chained to a guy in prison, and he finds contentment. That's a horrible place to be, yet he finds contentment. I bought some appliances, and I'm just not happy because they're not here yet. He's chained to a guy 24/7. He can't get out of the house. They don't like him. They want him gone. They want him dead. But the fact is, he's a Roman citizen, and by their law, they can't just do it yet. If he was a Jew only, he'd be done. And he should be miserable. That's where he's coming from when he says, be content in everything. And he says in verse 12, he says, I know how to be abased, that's humbled. And I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, to abound and to suffer. And it's after that he says the verse we all love, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we think it's down prosperity lane. That's not what it's talking about. I can be in pain, I can be in suffering, I can be in defeat, I can be in overload and worn out. And it's in this mode that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and it's according to his will, and it's to do what he's called us to do. Don't make it something that's not. And I think we've all faced those difficult trials, and it's in the difficult trials, like I said before, that God is at work. He's doing something. He's doing something. Don't get mad at me because he's doing something. I want to talk to the church for a second. And Pastor James, this will be the last part. Our church, this church, I just want to say, I think we're doing well. That's my opinion. Elders might see it a little different, but I think we're doing well. We are debt-free church. All right? That's a big deal. And it's something that just, it's the right thing. Our elders have been amazing at dealing with the finances of this church. And things are in order, in good order. So we're doing okay. I want to talk about giving for a second. There is work to be done. The elders handle money wisely in this church. I'm one of them. I'm one of the elders. I'm the one that wants to spend stuff. But they handle the money well. Your giving right now doesn't cripple our church, whether you give or not. But there is work to be done. But the giving isn't even for the work that's to be done. The giving is for you. We're called to give a tenth. I think that's the rule that we as believers go by. A tenth of our income. The Jews gave a tenth, a tenth, a tenth. So they gave 30% eventually of their income. We're called to give a tenth, and it not just a tenth at the end, but a tenth at the beginning. Your first fruits. That's what we're supposed to do. And then there's the verse that we all love, and see that I won't open up the storehouses of heaven for you and bless you. And you know what happens. Oh, man. Got to get me that boat. I know that if I give this, I'm going to get back 100-fold maybe. So if I get 10, I'll get 100 back. If I do that 10 times, that's 1,000. If I do that 40 times, that's 40,000. I can get the boat. We are so off the mark. We are so off the mark, and believe me, I'm laughing at me. I've thought this. Sally, who gives from a pure heart, you know, we always say, well, what do you think? What do you think? And I'm always 70% less. And she's just okay. But she doesn't want to be okay. She wants to give because her heart is right. And she doesn't even know. She does because she's pretty smart. But she doesn't care about what comes back. She's a giver. But we're called to give. But it's for you. And God does bless. And he blesses many fold over. But the biggest blessing is when you give, you have an impact on other people. And that's where this church needs to go. We do support the Kellys. We do support David Bruning and Bob Lenz. Bob is the big guy who spoke at our outdoor thing, who meets more teenagers and youth around the world than anybody else that I'm aware of. And we give to Jason Witt, another missionary. And there's some more. And some have left because of the circumstances of COVID and whatever. But we need to continue. We need to up our giving to them. Give because you're supposed to give. The money is going to be handled well because the people handling the money handle it well. So you don't have to worry about that, but you have to do this so God can be doing something in you. That's what's first and foremost, that he's always at work and in you. And when you sacrifice to him, he takes care of you. And that's the big thing. When we say in the suffering of giving, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, you're getting a little closer to how it works. Now he can work with you. Now he can bless you. Now he can take you to where you need to go. And I'm going to speak from one who is much like a lot of people in this room, not a big fan of the giving thing, or I haven't been. And every step I took was a step of, I'm going to say, resisting faith, if that makes any sense. I resisted it, but I stepped out in faith, and he still blessed me in it. And now I'm doing okay in my giving. My heart has changed. He's changed my heart, and I'm doing better at it. I'm speaking this because I know that you guys are just like me. You feel the same things. I'm going to encourage you to be about that giving. Come up with a plan, and if that 10% is overwhelming, I get it, then start at 2%. Start somewhere. And begin to give. And then just sit back and see what God does. But stay consistent in it. The other thing is, and I'm just going to speak from my heart, I think our elders treat me pretty good. And I don't have any complaints. I think our pastors need more. That's just my opinion. So money would go to that. And the last thing, that Pastor Jerry, you should really be doing this message because nobody does it quite like you do, but how many houses do we have here? 22. How many square feet? 2,000 square feet. That's 44. If I did the math. 44,000 square feet of building that has to be maintained and taken care of. Tweet Garrett is out in our driveway way too much. So I just wanted to say that. And so in this message, he deals with that. He talks about how he's been in want and he's been in plenty and he still says that he's called to give. All right, God still takes care of him. He's still content. And that's the place we want to be, is we want to be content in where we're at, even in our finances. And I talk about this once every 3 years. And that you would be content in that. It says in Philippians 4:19, "And my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory." His riches are pretty good. How many cattle, Pastor James, do you know? On how many hills? I get that next. A lot. There's a whole bunch there, I guess. He owns it all. It's all his. 10,000? 1,000? Does it matter? He owns it all. Yeah, that's right. In Jesus' name. We're going to take communion together. That's all I have to say about that. If you get a chance before this day is over, if you can meet with Tim and Chrissy, stand up one more time. Tim, you don't want to stand. I know, your knees are, you're old. All right, wave. Chrissy's young, Tim's old. Visit with them. See what they're up to. Talk to the men in the back. Gideon, sorry. Go talk to our Gideon brothers who are handing out Bibles all over the world. You get a chance to see how you can support them and be blessed. We're going to take communion. The only requirement for taking communion in this church is you have to be a believer in Jesus Christ, that he went to the cross for you, paid the price for you and me, went to the grave after being beaten and whipped for you and me, was in the grave for 3 days. He rose again. And the whole punishment for sin was dealt with there. And he comes back to you and me and says, if you receive this gift that I've done for you, you have salvation. And then he calls you to grow in the grace and the understanding of who he is. That's what Jesus does. If you believe that, you're welcome to take communion with us in just a minute here. If you don't believe in that, and you've never even heard this kind of thing before, right where you're sitting, just close your eyes. Everybody can close their eyes. And right where you're sitting, just say, Jesus, come into my heart. Change this heart of mine and be my Savior. That's really all you have to do. And then at the end of the service, when there's people up here praying, go up there and tell them. Say, this is what I did today. Can I get a book or something? It's that simple.